Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I want you to imagine everything I tell you as if you're there yourself.
Welcome to DragonCast.
Do you remember any of the events that led up to your disappearance?
Whilst we're waiting for House of the Dragon Season 2, Jamie East and Chris Mandel dive into some acclaimed series just ripe for a bit of analysis.
Don't come unless you leave your front door open. You have to invite me in.
First is Britt Marling's cult classic, The OA. Hey everybody, how are you doing? I'm Jamie East and this is Chris Mandel.
Hello.
And this is the bonus series of DragonCast, where we're going back and looking back at a cult series, and not an unloved series, but unwatched by at least one of us. And this time it's the OA, and this is the second episode. So OA Part 1, Episode 2. Last week we did a... I made a lot of mistakes talking about this episode with you last week because I thought that stuff was going to happen in this episode that hasn't happened yet. So, you know, I told you there'd be homework, for instance. Do you remember me saying that?
Yeah. This is the thing, right? I came away.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, you're like, shit, what's the homework? It's not happened yet. I got ahead of myself.
Okay.
And forgot. Just how gentle, I'm going to call it gentle, how gently the OA moves along the story.
Right.
Some would say quite slow. How did you feel about this episode? Because I barely remembered most of it, except for there was like one pivotal kind of moment within it.
I loved it, actually. I loved it. I think I liked it more than the first episode. I thought there was a little bit, it was a little easier to follow just because it had this like... Yeah. You know, Prairie is like telling the story of where she's been. And, you know, a lot of the questions I had from the first episode, which was like, wait, you were Russian? Like, wait, you were in a car crash? Like, you know, it addresses quite a lot of things quite neatly. So I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
When you said there was homework, I finished it being like, if I watched the wrong episode, like, what the fuck? But I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I think I like that. I think we talked about this last week. I like that it kind of, rather than hold you ransom with information, it kind of goes, okay, like this is where she's been. This is what happened. This, she went here, then she went here. So I thought it was quite to the point, which I thought was quite appealing.
Yeah. You got a lot of, I think what it did really well was you understood her position, you know, it's important to understand. I think, you know, for someone that as later episodes will reveal, she disappeared for a very specific reason. And if this episode hadn't existed, you'd never really understand why that happened. But I think that this episode did a good job of putting you in the mindset of her, in as much as she's just, she's what, 21 when she went missing. It was her 21st birthday that we saw her at the Statue of Liberty. And she's just clearly still very damaged, still very broken up about the death of her father, or as we know it to be, the death of a father. So for those that are struggling to remember or catch up or haven't watched it recently, we join Prairie saying a dad sent her to a boarding school in America for blind children to protect her, presumably from the forces that tried to kill her before. But while she was in the school, her father died. She was sent to live with her aunt, this aunt who clearly wasn't very well looked after by her multi-billionaire oligarch brother, because she just had this like crappy like brothel kind of, also ran like an illegal adoption service, which was quite handy, I guess. But then Nancy and Abel turn up, never really explained why they're at an illegal adoption place and adopt her. Quite,
they wanted a different coldly. Kid, didn't they? They wanted a different kid.
They turned up to get the baby. Turned up to get the baby. Took Prairie instead, as they named her, and then left the little baby in this horrible place.
Yeah, they're like, "I'm sure you'll be fine." Other baby that we rejected.
I think I would have had to have taken the baby as well.
Also, before you go any further, the thing that blew my mind was that Prairie's dad was like, "I know who I'll leave her with, the sibling that runs a baby farm.
An illegal adoption brothel, yeah.
I was like, that's where you're, really? Like, that's where you're going to put her? Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Crackers.
Sorry.
Absolutely crackers.
Anyway, continue.
But then, so she spends the next few years, or as a young girl, having these, well, what she calls a premonitions, what doctors are calling neuroses, visions, whatever you want to call it. And she ends up being medicated. Her parents are just obviously kind of terrified by that. They've got this, they brought home this puppy that's a bit mad. And then we kind of, a few years go by, and she's been seemingly having like tons and tons of these visions of her father saying that he's coming to meet her on her 21st birthday at Staten Island at the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's blind. On her 21st birthday, she goes there and waits all day. He doesn't turn up. For reasons not entirely explained, she's carrying a violin with her. So she starts playing her violin at the subway station,
hoping that he'll hear it or something, right?
Yeah, which was a bit of a stretch, I'm going to say. You know, money, if you're blind, you don't really know what a subway station looks like, I guess.
Yeah.
But in a pretty major event, someone does hear it, and that is Hap. What did you make of Hap?
Well, it's interesting because I knew Jason Isaacs was in it. My thought was he's like actually kind of like the de facto lead. So when he came along, I was like, oh, interesting. He's going to be like a sort of kind, compassionate mentor figure for Prairie, which as the sort of twist at the end of the episode reveals, he is not. Or at least that's how I'm sort of perceiving it at the moment. Fascinated with near-death experiences, NDEs, and he sort of studies them in some form. Takes Prairie for oysters and french fries, which I thought, if a man took me for oysters and french fries in a place like that, I would go with him anywhere, because I was like, this is a man with class.
Oysters and french fries, it's not a great mix.
Yeah, so that was a bit, I mean, I think she hated the oysters and he was like, let's get some french fries, but I think very French. Yeah. I'd love it. Yeah, take me with you.
And also, the Grand Central Station is the best place to go.
Very cool. I can imagine, if you're blind, the sensory overload of having to have an oyster, which you can't chew, which smells like the bottom of the ocean. That would
in
really...
Grand Central Station.
With all the noise, I like, that would be like overdosing on sensory information.
Yeah.
I thought he seemed like a really sort of compassionate figure and someone that she could trust, and obviously like she's gone through this system of not really having anyone, even her adoptive parents who were ostensibly rescued her from the puppy farm she was being raised in, even they sort of don't really take her episodes seriously. That they're trying to medicate them, they're trying to control her, and we saw some of that in that first episode where anytime she was trying to sort of tap into her innate gift, whatever that is, her family was sort of curbing it, and that there was a real feeling of isolation and a real feeling of being cut out. So I thought it was a very interesting episode. Still, you know, it is gently getting somewhere. I do find at times it feels like it could have been 14 minutes shorter. And it does feel like, you know, very of its time, it was like, yeah, let's just make this an hour and 10 minutes for some reason, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fair enough. Just
Netflix was
never get away with it now.
No, yeah. Netflix was sort of saying to people like, hey, make it as long as you want. We don't have to put ads in it. And people were going, okay, yeah, well, maybe this scene that would get cut down by a traditional broadcaster, let's make it 11 minutes long. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Because no one's going to tell us not to. Yeah.
Yeah. People. Yeah, exactly.
So there's two threads to the story. So there's the flashback and how she came to be involved in this NDE kind of experimentational group. And then there's the people that she's assembled, her Avengers, in the derelict house. What do you make of that? We started to get a bit more of a sense of a few more of those people, didn't we?
Yeah, there's some characters emerging, particularly the woman from the office. But they're not sure whether she's telling the truth, so they sort of go off and.
I mean, you would kind of go and Google it, wouldn't you? You'd be like, I could probably verify this.
Can I
surely
fact check
somehow?
This? Yeah. So remind me. So they. Some of them try and figure out if she's bullshitting or not, basically, right? And they go off and...
Yeah, 100%. They're just kind of like, fucking, am I really going to sit here at midnight with my front door open and listen to this?
Yeah.
I've got to know if this is Jen up or not, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, the last thing I want is for this to be a scam and for there to be like a badger in my house because I didn't shut the door. Yeah. One of those would be bad enough, but yeah. So, yeah. So,
yeah, and we learn a bit more about, they've all got a reason for being there. I think that was what was established, wasn't it? You know,
they
start to get a sense that it they're not a thrown together, but, you know, accidentally, group of people, that there seems to have been some kind of divine intervention that's brought them all together.
Yeah.
Because they just don't really know why.
I remembered that there was, yeah, there's someone like, was going to leave to do a scholarship or something. And it was like,
yeah,
no, you should stay.
There's the guy. There's the lad there. There's also, there's the young, I think she's a girl, but clearly going through some gender identity issues.
Oh yes. Yes, of course.
Because we get that, Steve has been basically supplying her with testosterone.
Yeah.
That was mentioned at one point as well. So there's, you know, I think, it's safe to say that over the next episodes, we're going to learn more about all of the path they've taken to get to that.
The reasons that they have been so taken by Prairie, essentially. And
yeah, because, you know, if you were just a regular Joe, you'd be like, excuse me, love, absolutely fucking not. See you later. Bye.
Yeah.
End of discussion. You'd be like, you never guess what happened earlier. This woman stopped me in the street and said, well, I'll leave my door open tonight and come sit in an attic. You know.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh?
Yeah. Yeah. That she's got like an almost like a messiah figure thing that where it's almost like people are drawn to her and the people that, yeah, I guess I didn't really appreciate that. Like the people that are there, they're quite specific reasons for being there. At this point, the stuff about her past, I think I was a little bit more engrossed in. But yeah, there's clearly some sort of thing. I mean, we heard about Homer again, didn't we? Was Homer the person in the lab? No. No, have I made that up?
I think that's safe to say. Yeah, that Homer is where she has ended up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Homer, yeah. Homer is a person, not a place though, right?
Homer is a person, okay. Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Homer is where the heart is.
There's no place like Homer. That could be a good tagline for the show. I thought the thing that I loved, that I actually rewatched it like a couple of times, is when she's led down into the lab. I thought that was such a great... The way that they did that twist was great, because the camera is such a close crop on Prairie, so we don't see what she doesn't see. And so she's kind of like, ooh, it smells a bit in here. And he's like, yeah, I tunneled into the ground. And I was going... Oh, right, he tunneled into the ground. Cool. And then she goes, is that a stream? And he's like, yeah, there's a stream running through the lab. I just left it. And I'm like, yeah, he just left it. And then you're like, oh, she's in a box. She's in a box. Okay. But it's done so well that she kind of bumps her head. And I sort of saw it and I was like, oh, wait, I feel like I've missed that. So I rewatched it. And then I was like, that is just so beautifully done, where you still don't really get a sense of the interiority of that space, and you don't see him walk her down or leave her. And I was like, I felt so sort of boxed in myself. And so I watched it a third time and I thought, that is just beautiful direction.
This is great.
Great misdirection. Perfect. And obviously Jason Isaacs is not a good guy. Or if he does, he's got a funny way of showing it.
Yeah. Does he think? I mean, he thinks he's a good guy,
right? It's fair to say. Right.
He's doing. He's a scientist. I think that's what I got from that episode. Was he? Which I think is a pretty familiar trope in a lot of stuff like this. The mad scientist always believes that they're doing things for the greater good of mankind, don't they?
Yeah, and I think also that, like, not unlike Prairie, he's like, I have seen something that no one else understands, and I might have to force people to see it my way. I get that.
What do you think he's referring to?
So I think I didn't realize that the near-death experience thing was... That's to this episode, I was like, oh, that's what this show is about. Like, Prairie's ability was sort of brought into existence by the near-death experience. That's when she accessed that sort of spiritual plane. So I think my theory, and again, I don't think this is... based on any dialogue, but my theory is he had probably a daughter who died, so he's obsessed with death, and near-death experiences cause people to access this realm, and I think he's trying to like harness it or something. Yeah. I think
maybe
my other theory was maybe all the people in that circle at the house with no doors, where they've kept the doors open, all of those people maybe have had near-death experiences, but I think that might not be the case. I think it might be more like,
I don't think that's the case, because they'd have
been like, oh my god, that happened to me. But maybe it's more that each of them, it's very A-team, they have a particular set of skills, and we're starting to see, like, that lad who, like, the kind of bully, like that really intense guy that like punched the kid in the throat, he's like he's like the muscle. We've got the really smart kid,
just like the A-team.
It is
B.A. Baracus.
Exactly, yeah.
Or Hannibal.
I think it could be that. I think, I don't know. The near-death experience thing, though, it seems to be that it's about trying to harness that ability to go to that place. And I presume, I mean, most creepy scientists have a dead kid, so I just think logic dictates. It's probably a girl, because I think then you've got, surrogate daughter vibes or whatever. That's my theory so far. But I have to say, I enjoyed it a lot, but I was a bit like, what the fuck is going on?
But I mean, that never leaves you. That never leaves you with this show. sorry about that. But I've just been trying to scan through an episode guide to see when the homework needs to start. And I actually think you've got a couple of weeks yet.
Okay.
Got a couple of weeks, so relax back. Love to know what other people are thinking about it. I know quite a few people have started the OA journey with us, and I'm aware that you won't have heard episode one until today as well. Apologies, I forgot to publish the episode. But do get in touch and let us know what your thoughts are on it, because it is quite divisive and it's a tough one to get your head around. But, you know, if you do allow it into your life, it is pretty beautiful, you know.
It's very different.
It's
fun having a show that is hard to follow. Like, I don't think it's like intentionally difficult. I just think it's like, you really have to pay attention. Like, it's great to have the subtitles on just so you're like really like taking everything in. And I think, I think now that I know there's an element of like death to it and like that spirituality thing, I'm just like, I feel like the sky is literally the limits in terms of where it could go. And I think that is just quite exciting. But it's a great show. It looks great. It's got a really specific sort of palette to it. And
I think you were right last week with your Mayor of Easttown comparison. Like, the palette's pretty similar as well. Yeah, that down.
Yeah. It's just
that kind of like pretty washed out blue.
It's such a beautiful, brilliant thing when a show, and loads of shows do it, like Succession does it in its own way, where they know the like landscape of the world. They know the world really well. And even when you haven't seen all of it, you're like, they just know the, like, they're fluent in all of these things. Like, what the way people are dressed, the way they talk, the cars, it's just so painstakingly done. Mad Men did it perfectly. You know, you just know that a lot of thought has gone into it to make it work. I think it's really, I'm actually really excited for episode 3. I'll probably watch it sooner.
We're going to discuss whether we do two a week or one. Are you still happy with one?
I think I'm content actually to just do one at a time, I think, because there's... I mean, I don't think there's loads to talk about episode by episode, but I just think also for like people listening, it's quite easy to just take in like a quick check-in on like each episode rather than like a forensic dive.
Agree with that.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. Chris Mandel, wonderful to speak to you again. See you next week for another bonus episode where we'll be doing OA episode 3. If you've enjoyed it, do get in touch. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, leave your doors open.
Leave your doors open. We'll just pop in. We'll see you upstairs in the derelict attic.
We'll let ourselves in. Yeah.
Bring your testosterone.
See you next week.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter at @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Drakkaris.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.